Well, good morning. The Lord be with you. Welcome to worship this morning with Trinity. It's really good to see you here today. My name is Steve Price, and I'm one of the pastors here at Trinity as of a week ago. And so if you happened to miss last week, well, now you got a face for me and my wife, Catherine, who also has come as one of the new pastors. And we are delighted to be here. And if it's your first time here, we especially want to welcome you as our guests today and hope that this service will be renewing and refreshing for you and your faith. Whether you're here for the first time or you're here all the time, I would invite you to take just a moment to fill out the connection card at some point. You'll find that in your bulletin, and it tears out easily. If you're new, if you would give us as much information as you are comfortable with about yourself that we ask for, that helps us get to know you and connect you to opportunities with the Trinity Community of Faith. And if you're a regular, if you'll just put your name and your email, that's very helpful for us. A couple of logistical things this morning. We have a projector down, and so you'll need to turn your attention to this side, or if you happen to be sitting far enough over here, to that screen back there, to be able to follow along with lyrics and other parts of the liturgy during worship. And also, we have a section of our loop system, which provides hearing assistance or aid to those who use hearing aids, that is currently out that we have someone coming to check this week. It is in that back middle area. So if you happen to be sitting in that area and you're having difficulty hearing, you can do one of two things. You can either move to another section where the loop system is working fine, or we have a number of FM receivers available that are out in the narthex, and you can ask one of the ushers to get one of those for you. Well, again, we are glad that you are here. You know, it's the beginning of a new series of messages, which we are excited about offering, entitled, Who is This Man? A Glimpse into the Life of Jesus. It was St. Augustine who said, our hearts are restless until they rest in God. Maybe you're one of those people who's been feeling a little bit restless lately. Maybe some things have been a little shaky or troubling or uncertain for you. Well, if so, we're especially glad that you are here today so that for the next hour or so, you can simply step away from whatever was on your mind before you got here and allow God to breathe some new life and new words into you during this time of worship. And so in that spirit, I say to you this morning, welcome home. And it is great to be here, and I invite you to stand now and greet someone near you and say, hey, it's great to see you today.
If everyone would please stand, we're going to join in worship together this morning.
Bring forth, O royal Zion.
act of worship, let us affirm our faith together using this Korean Methodist affirmation. We believe in one God, creator and sustainer of all things, father of all nations, the source of all goodness and beauty and truth and love. We believe in Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, our teacher, example, and redeemer, the Savior of the world. We believe in the Holy Spirit, God present with us for guidance, for comfort, and for strength. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, in the life of love and prayer, and in grace equal to every need. We believe in the Word of God, contained in the Old and New Testaments, as the sufficient rule both of faith and of practice. We believe in the Church, those who are united in the living Lord for the purpose of worship and service. We believe in the reign of God as the divine will realized in human society, and in the family of God, where we are all brothers and sisters. We believe in the final triumph of righteousness and in the life everlasting. Amen.
I did want you to have the names of those who have been visiting in the hospital. We have specialized care. And if you have a prayer request or someone that you would like to let us know about who needs prayer visitation, please use your Connect card to let us know. In our previous service at 9:40, we had the wonderful joy of being able to call forward all of our new preschool students and pray over them as they are preparing for a brand new school year. As we prepare to open our doors and welcome these young minds who are going to be coming through, one of which is my daughter, Abigail. And so we are very excited about the year to come, and we want to take this opportunity to not only pray for our preschool and for all those who want to participate there, but for all of the young children and the families who are preparing for a new school year, for those who are adults and going back to school. It is a time of renewal, it is a time of excitement, and so we want to remember them as we pray this week. But let us have a moment of silence together now, and then we'll join our hearts in prayers, and you can be praying as we sit in silence for those whose names are listed there or any other prayer concerns that you brought with you when you came in the door this morning. So let us pray. All wisdom flows. We have gathered here this morning to worship you indeed, through spirit and in truth. We offer our lives to you individually and communally. May you be glorified as we seek to reflect your inexhaustible grace and your relentless love in our homes, our schools, our workplaces, and beyond. As we prepare for the start of a new school year, we ask for your blessings on the days, the weeks, and the months that lie ahead. Bless the students, their families, the teachers and professors, administrators, and all who contribute to the education process as they work to embrace new routines and meet new expectations. May your spirit calm anxious hearts. Encourage those who might feel discouraged and pave a way for each student to develop to their full potential, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and socially. And our children's ministry team and all the families who will enter our doors in the coming years, that these seeds of truth and hope and light that we are looking to plant in these lives, may they be multiplied and bear much fruit for a lifetime to come. Protect our schools from violence in any form, that they may be safe places where every mind and every soul can be inspired and challenged without fear of harm or shame. And may this marking of a new school year be a reminder for each of us to celebrate the gift of education and to respond to your call to continuously grow in grace until we meet you face to face. Fill us, Lord, with your holy passion so that we can press onward in our journey towards perfection in Christ as we pray together the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Of Jesus, we seek to grow in grace and to become more like Him by modeling the generosity that He showed us by giving back from what God has given us for the ministries of this church. And so, as we prepare to worship God with offering this morning, I invite our ushers to come, and as they come, I will pray. God, indeed, we thank you that you are the giver of every good thing we enjoy in life. And as we give back to you now out of the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, we pray, God, that you use these offerings, these tithes, through the ministries of this church to advance the work of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Help us as individuals and us as a church be good stewards over all that you bless us with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Catherine, and if you're new here and you're wondering who this face is up here, I'm one of your new pastors, and I sure am glad to be here. This is our second week, so if you've been away for a while, you haven't missed much. Just last week was you haven't missed us. Last week was our first Sunday. We're really glad to be here. You know, several weeks ago when I was talking to a friend of mine, he asked what we were going to preach about for our, as we began ministry here, this new season with you. And I said, well, I think we're going to preach about Jesus. You know, after all, that's a good place to start, right? Who Jesus is and what Jesus does and how Jesus lives and how he makes a difference in our lives. You know, who he is. That question comes up several times in the Gospel of Luke. We hear, who is this who? Who is this who even forgives sins? Who is this who even commands the waves and the wind and the waters and they obey him? And who do you say that I am? So that's what we're going to look at for the next several weeks. Stories from the Gospel of Luke that speak to us about who Jesus is and what he means in our lives. So, the scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke. Now, if church and the Bible is new to you, I'll just tell you the Bible is divided into the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the first four books of the New Testament are accounts of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. They tell us who Jesus is. They tell us the good news. That's what gospel means. So we're going to be looking at the third account, because they're in that order, Matthew, Mark, Luke. We're going to be looking at Luke and stories through Luke. And today we're going to begin with chapter 4. So as we begin, before we read this, I want to give you just a little bit of background. You know, Jesus was baptized. Well, Luke tells us before, of course, that Jesus was born. And then he tells us, skips to adulthood, and tells us that Jesus was baptized in the river. And it's at that moment when he is baptized that we realize that he is chosen by God. There is something different about him. He is chosen by God and he is beloved. And then we hear that he went out into the wilderness for 40 days. And it was out in the wilderness where he was tempted. But at the end of that time, it is very clear to us that he has chosen to honor God with all that he is. And then that's where we take up the reading for today. When he goes back after being baptized and after being tempted, then he goes back to his hometown and to his home synagogue to begin teaching and to initiate his ministry. And that's where we pick up today. So I invite you to hear these words. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been raised. On the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue, as he normally did, and stood up to read. The synagogue assistant gave him the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll. He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the synagogue assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the synagogue was fixed on him. He began to explain to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled as you heard it." The word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Let me invite you to bow your heads this morning and pray for me in sharing this message with you. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The first time I ever preached a sermon was here with Trinity. Well, not exactly here. It was here with Trinity at the 8th Avenue property many years ago, but it was here with you all, with this congregation, and it was here right in front of this very same stained glass window. I was invited to come back my first year in seminary and preach the Sunday after Christmas, the student Sunday. Now, what you all may not know is that I hate public speaking. I really do. I still do. I didn't ever want to be a preacher. I didn't ever want to preach. But somehow that's what God had in mind. And so here I am. But I still remember that very first sermon, that very first day. It's very clear in my mind. I was sitting on a bench behind the pulpit. And I was sitting there beside my dear friend from growing up, also a seminary student with me, my dear friend, Alan Todd. And Alan was supposed to get up and say the pastoral prayer, offer the pastoral prayer, and then I would get up and follow him and preach. Now, what you may not know about Alan is that Alan loved to talk in front of people. And Alan loved to be the center of attention. So, as I sat beside him and he was praying the pastoral prayer, I will admit I was not praying. I was not listening. I was planning my escape. I really was. I was sitting there concocting this plan. Okay, I could just pretend that I was going to get sick and I could run out of the worship space. And they will all feel sorry for me. And Alan will stand up and preach. And Alan can preach off the cuff, so it'll just be fine. And after all, I was feeling pretty nauseous anyway, and so that would have worked out okay. But I didn't. I stood up, and I started to preach. And as I did, I had to preach to this two-thirds of the worship space. Because over here, my family and friends were sitting. And you know, it's even more intimidating to go back to your hometown, to your home church, and to preach there. I couldn't look at that one-third of the congregation because I knew that I would lose it if I did. I would either start laughing or start crying or something, but I couldn't look at them. I made it through somehow. I do think it was probably one of the hardest experiences of my life up to that point. I wonder how it was when Jesus went back to his hometown and his home synagogue. I wonder what kind of expectations people had of him, and I wonder what kind of memories they had of him. I wonder, as he stood up to teach, if they thought, oh, he worked on some carpentry projects with his dad. And, you know, he was the one who went and found that little lamb that somehow got separated from the rest of the flock. And he was the one who missed the caravan on the way back from Jerusalem that year, and his parents didn't find him, and they were nearly scared to death. He was the young boy, and what a nice young man he's turned out to be. This hometown boy done good. I also wonder what they were expecting of him. They were gathered in the seminary, in the synagogue that day, in anticipation of hearing the word read and taught. That's what happened in the synagogue. And it was that moment of expectation for them, that moment of possibility of what might be, of what could be, of what may be a reality. We're told that the Spirit of God was with him, and that everywhere he went, people praised him. Every local TV station had a story on about him, and Twitter was blowing up about his good works. Then, almost in slow motion, the Scripture tells us what happened. He attendant, the synagogue attendant, gave him the scroll from the ancient prophet Isaiah. And he took the scroll, and then he rolled it to where he wanted to read. Not just where it was, where he wanted to read. And then he read these words. We know it as Isaiah 61 with a little bit of chapter 58 thrown in. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then we go back to slow motion again, and it says he rolled up the scroll, and he handed it back to the synagogue attendant. And then he went, and he sat down. And as he did, every eye in the room was fixed on him. It was that moment of truth, that pregnant pause. What in the world is going to come next? Jesus is going to teach about this. And then he just says to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled, just as you heard it. And I imagine he continued teaching in some amazing ways, because ultimately they say, who is this? Isn't this Joseph's son? And yet listen to how he teaches. And then the words begin to sink in just a bit. Somehow they begin to understand that these words aren't simply nice, impressive words that Jesus is teaching. He's not just blowing hot air. This is his mission. This is his inaugural address, and he is laying out his agenda for his ministry. He is passionate about what he is saying, and he intends to do it. Again, it's that moment of what might be, what could be, what may become a reality. And then they think, oh, wait, he's serious. This may become reality. And then they realize that he's messing with their world. He's messing with their status quo. They kind of want to help the poor. And, you know, healing the blind, well, that would probably always be a good thing, right? But releasing the prisoners and liberating the oppressed, now he's gone to meddling. Freedom for others might be risky for them. And liberation for the oppressed might mean less wealth and resources for those of them who have more. Jesus is messing with the status quo and turning the regular order of things upside down. His mission was good news and liberation and freedom and vision. This is pretty radical stuff. It might have been easier if his mission was to decide who was going to go to heaven and who was not, or who would receive salvation. If he had only said that he was coming to judge those who were worthy and those who were not, then those people in the synagogue would have thought, well, hey, I am, of course, among the worthy, so I'm all right. But he seems to be turning things upside down. His hometown boy, who made good, was challenging the hometown race. And they weren't quite so sure about that. This was his mission. The power of the Spirit of God was with him, pulsing through everything he did and every word he said, as he was empowered to do just what he said, offer good news to the poor, release to the captive, sight to the blind, and freedom to the oppressed, and to announce God's favor, God's love, God's unimaginable grace. That day in the synagogue, was just the beginning. And it continues. He kept saying those things and doing those things every time he turned around, day in and day out, every moment, when it was convenient and when it was not, until finally it killed him. Some people embraced what he didn't say, but others did not, because he questioned their integrity or challenged their complacency or put a spotlight on their unfaithfulness or upset their unfair advantage. And when some had finally had enough and they could no longer take it anymore, they couldn't stand his behavior, they manipulated the judicial system and had him put to death. But God conquered even that, and he rose again on the third day. And now he continues to carry out his mission by the power of the Holy Spirit poured out on the body of Christ, on the church. You see, we, church, are the body of Christ, and we are called to offer release and freedom, recovery and vision and liberation and good news. We are called to offer God's extravagant favor. So think about it. Who needs to hear the good news that they are loved and valued and welcome? Who is held captive to debt, to illness, to mental health issues, to addiction? Who is imprisoned because they have been devalued or demeaned? Who is blinded by attitudes of prejudice and bigotry? Who is told that they don't deserve and can't receive God's favor? It is to them that we are called to be the church. This is now our mission. We are called to turn the world upside down and to announce that now is the time of the Lord's favor. Jesus took that scroll and he unrolled it to where he wanted to read, and he read from the prophet Isaiah and claimed those words as his own, claimed that mission as his own. And now we are called to do the same. So this morning, as you are able, I invite you to stand with me figuratively and also stand with me literally. Will you stand with me? And as we stand together, will you claim with me that mission as our own mission? Church, this is our mission. Let's say this together. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed us to bring good news to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord has sent us to proclaim release to the captive. The Spirit of the Lord has sent us to help the blind recover their sight. The Spirit of the Lord has sent us to free the oppressed. The Spirit of the Lord has sent us to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in our hearing. May it be so.
So, having heard the good news of God's radical love in Jesus Christ, we come to the table where we receive a taste of that love. Here we remember that all have fallen short. Here we remember that every one of us is in need of that grace, There is something from which we need to be set free and liberated so that we can embrace fully God's call on each of our lives and live into the way of Jesus as faithful followers. We remember here at the table how Jesus came and offered himself throughout his life, even to the point of death, and that God raised him from the dead. We remember how on the night before he died, he gathered his disciples for a final meal, and he took bread, and as he shared it with them that night, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the meal, he took a cup and gave thanks, shared it with them, and said, "Take, drink, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." We pray. Gracious and merciful God, we come this morning with grateful hearts to a table where you have set a place for each of us. And we ask that as we come, you would make us ready, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on all who are gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and the cup, that in receiving them, we might recognize the very presence of Christ, his body and blood given up for our sake and for the sake of the world, and that we might rise from the table to go out and live more fully as the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. So now, by the power of your Spirit, bind us together with you, with each other, and in ministry, called according to your purposes, that your kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven. All this we ask in the name of Christ. Amen. Let me ask that those of you who have been asked to serve this morning, if you would come and meet us at the altar rails now, prepare to serve. Just a moment, we will be inviting you forward to receive communion this morning. Let me give you just a couple of words of instruction. You'll notice that there are pairs of servers in front of each of the sections. And so if you'll simply come, beginning with the first rows and then working our way back, come out to the left of your section and come forward, receive bread and juice from the pair of servers in front of your section, and then return by the other side and find your way back into your row. As you come, we invite you to open your hands to receive God's blessing for you. We all come as those who are in need of God's grace. So allow one of the servers to place a piece of bread into your hands, and then take that bread and dip it into the cup, receiving it in the manner of inclusion. After you've received, you can return to your seats or spend time at the altar rail if you'd like in prayer. Here at Trinity and in United Methodist Church, the table of communion is always open. This is Christ's table, and he invites everyone. And so whether you're here all the time or you're here for the first time, if you desire, we welcome you to the table to receive his grace. Everything has been prepared and is ready for you. Thank you.
stand and let's stand in benediction together this morning.
As you go out today, there is an opportunity for you on your way out to be a part of sharing the good news, bringing good news to the poor and the oppressed, right here in our own community. Our mission box today is for caring for our community, a ministry of Trinity that allows us to provide emergency assistance to persons in need for things like food and shelter and utilities when needed, when there is an emergency situation. So as you go out today, we invite you to be generous in making an impact through Trinity on the lives of others in our community.
So now as you go out, may you go out sharing the good news, proclaiming freedom and vision and liberation and the love of God, the extravagant love of God. And may you know